This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmann Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. It's one of those days where we have bad news. Happens. We have days like today where we've got to talk about decisions in last night's Diamondbacks game. We've got to talk about Todd Graham's future, Jerome Sauer's being let go at Northern Arizona University yesterday, Rich Rod's future. I mean, there's so much going on in Arizona. This is why we are the busiest sports market in America, and this is why I do what I do, and we do what we do every day here at Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. A lot of you want to talk about Beth Mowins from last night's Monday Night Football game and how displeased you were. I did see some cavemen last night. I cannot have a woman doing broadcast of NFL football. I sound like Arnold Schwarzenegger. What is she doing on my television set? Yeah, a lot of run for a sideline reporter that's never been there before. And yeah, the Rex Ryan fan club is very small. Let me fill you in on something just a little bit here. It was only seen on the West Coast. No one in New York or big media markets east of the Midwest were awake at 1 o'clock in the morning to hear Rex be Rex. So, I mean, it's fine. ESPN is today talking about all the great social media for a sideline reporter. You let go of a lot of people to put that out last night. I had no problem with Beth Mowins, by the way, doing the game. Well, Peter King with us on David Johnson's injury. It is now 2 to 3 months that David Johnson is going to be out. Peter King will join us in 10 minutes. 10 minutes from now, Peter King will Skype in and we'll get his view. Is the season over in Arizona? How did Carson Palmer look to Peter King? What do the Cardinals do now that David Johnson is not going to be here? None better, the MMQB's Peter King. At 10:50, what is the fantasy impact of all of this? From the NFL Network, Michael Fabiano every week joins us. Michael Fabiano will weigh in from the NFL Network on the fantasy impact of the Cardinals losing David Johnson. Because a lot of you don't care about the Arizona Cardinals. I get it. A lot of you are Cowboy fans. A lot of you are Packer fans, Steeler fans, whatever. You're not fans of the Cardinals. You're just a fan of David Johnson on your team. And now he's gone, so what are you going to do? What is your next move? So Peter King and Michael Fabiano. There's some other guests I wanted to have on today, but there's just entirely too much. You know, we could do, Eric, we could do 2 or 3 hours today, pretty simply. We have a television show we got to put together for tonight on Fox Sports Arizona that's going to air before and after the Rockies-Diamondbacks game. Did you watch last night, Monday Night Football?
I did. I watched the halves. I watched the first half of the early game, and then I had a commitment, and then I watched like most of the Chargers game.
Because you're a Charger fan.
I'm from a distance now. Yes, I'm a Charger fan.
Do you find yourself being kind of torn last night?
Only when they put the LAC up on the lower third, because I kept thinking, wow, it's the LA Clippers. There's someone really messed that up, but
it's the
LA Chargers.
The old Clippers.
Yeah, but it was a competitive game. Usually when the Chargers go to Denver, it's fairly lopsided, and they came back and actually made a pretty entertaining game of it.
You heard the ref call them San Diego once.
I did, yeah.
I mean, that's fine. It blew up on social media.
Of course.
Some of my friends in San Diego.
Mistakes like that are going to happen, though.
Right. I mean, like some of my media friends in San Diego. That's where I worked at before. That's where I grew up. I grew up in San Diego. I was part of the Chargers broadcast team. And people are like, well, you had to root for the Chargers. No, I've never rooted for a team. I don't care. We're not in this job to root for teams. It just isn't the way it's supposed to work. So when you're in a media job, and I don't care what media job it is, and you put out there that you are rooting for a team, then I have to look at your content that you're putting out saying, okay, this isn't really anything more than fan grab here. This is anything more than just a fan doing something rather than, okay, can I tell who he or she is a fan of? I'm a fan of stories. You know, I'm a fan of players. I'm a big fan of players, not nearly as much a fan of owners. I think players get taken advantage of all over the place in this day and age, with every league, in certain ways. There are some good owners. There are. But there's some owners that just don't care. They just don't flat care. Was I entertained last night? I was out at dinner with my brother, and we were watching the Saints and Vikings. And the Adrian Peterson angle was fine. If I'm Mark Ingram today, I'm pissed. That's a Fabiano question. I mean, what is going on in New Orleans? The late game was all about the announcing crew. That was it. And if you've noticed through the years, ESPN has taken a similar track. They put Golic and Greenberg on there doing play-by-play of the late game one time. They've just kind of messed around with that late game to give people opportunities and let's create some buzz. So were you bothered by Beth Mullins last night, Eric, is watching the Chargers-Broncos game?
I had actually forgotten until the game started that she was doing the game, and it was one of those things where I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, in the past, they had Chris Berman doing the late game, and that really wasn't that exciting to me either. So, and I thought
I'd rather have Beth Mullins and Chris Berman doing a game any day.
I thought Rex Ryan was fine. It's just these – it's like people were crucifying Rex Ryan. It's hard. It's not easy. Like, he doesn't – he didn't have – you know, he did – they just put him in that chair. He didn't work his way up. Like, most analysts
– oh, I'll disagree with you. When he was coaching the Bills and the Jets.
Different, though, Brad.
When he's coaching the Bills and Jets, every week he's saying outlandish, bombastic, and then getting run over as a coach.
But
just
it's
getting run
it's
much, over
it's
as a coach.
It's much different, though, when you're in the booth.
I agree.
Compared to trying to defend your team. I mean, like Adam Archuleta and some of these other guys, they go through and they work their way up. Rex Ryan, just they basically said, here, you're doing Monday Night Football.
Yeah, because we're going to get people to watch because it's Rex. And Rex is going to say things that are really interesting.
It was an odd pairing with those two. They had never worked together.
Right. They'd never worked together, which is hard. I didn't find my enjoyment any greater or any less having the two of them going on. It was weird. The girl that I have slept with for the last 28, 29 years, who's a Charger fan or was a Charger fan, is texting me about who is this person doing play-by-play. And I walk in the house. I'm like, wow, you're kind of harsh. And she said, well, her voice just doesn't carry around the house like I'm used to. So I don't know. I mean, I saw some of the stuff on Twitter about Beth Mullins, and it was uncalled for, and it was just like, really, there are people that actually go to this length. I hate this person. I am watching ESPN2 in Spanish because I don't even speak Spanish.
And that's it's one of the downfalls, Brad, of social media that, like, 8-9 years ago, before Twitter and Instagram and all that, like, people would probably make these same complaints.
Yeah.
But no, those complaints were never made public because it was armchair quarterback Joe Blow who was just basically screaming at the TV. Now he can go to his smartphone, open up one of his social media accounts, say something outlandish, and boom, it spreads like wildfire.
Well, it was like Steve Berthiaume gets just crushed last night.
Which was also just so ridiculous.
Come on. So Steve Berthiaume, the Diamondbacks television play-by-play announcer, who does a good job, they're in a pennant race. He has a missed call last night. It happens. And so for some reason, there was this takeoff on Steve Berthiaume last night that, I don't know, what was worse last night? A missed call by Steve Berthiaume, which in my opinion, any announcer is going to have. Gus Johnson completely destroyed Tyrann Mathieu's name 2 weeks ago. Completely, absolutely annihilated it. Like he'd never heard of him, annihilated it. And Gus Johnson's very, very good. So here's Steve Berthiaume in a pennant race. It's J.D. Martinez. He got caught up in the moment, and it happens. It doesn't make him a bad announcer. I just thought it was uncalled for anybody to go after him. What was worse last night? Failing to tag up with a deep fly in the ninth inning from second to third, and then a wild pitch would have brought across the tying run? What was worse last night? Jake Barrett being brought in a nut cut in time, and Jake Barrett just serving up a nice big fat one to Colorado, and he looked like Greg Olson out there. Those of you that have been around like myself, that have seen the Diamondbacks since day one to now, it was never good when Greg Olson got out there. I felt bad for him. It looked like he was going to have a nervous breakdown whenever he was on the mound. This was different than Fernando Rodney saving games. So Jake Barrett has become that guy that he gets destroyed last night. Like, there are people just getting crushed everywhere last night on social media. And I get it to a point. But I was upset with the way the Diamondbacks game went last night, the way that base running, managerial decisions. If you've got Archie Bradley and you're trying to win a game. I've got to give Jake Barrett a vote of confidence. I got to show Jake Barrett I believe in him down the stretch. We're going to need Jake Barrett down the stretch, and then boom, gone, crushed. I mean, not just kind of, sort of, maybe out, like crushed, crushed. And so they lose last night. It was a gut-wrenching loss to me. I was far more interested in the Diamondbacks game than seeing some Monday Night Football stuff at this time of the year. I got a team here that's in a pennant race. And there were some decisions in last night's game that weren't good, in my humble opinion. So yeah, if you're just watching this, you haven't heard David Johnson. 2 to 3 months, Adam Schefter is reporting this over at ESPN. Adam gets this from agents and doctors. Adam's not wrong. I don't remember the last time that Adam put something out that was just dead flat, not even close to being right. So I have to go off that. Now I'm going to talk to Peter King after this timeout about the impact of the Cardinals now being without David Johnson. Is it over? I'm getting a suck for Sam Twitter list coming in on me, meaning Sam Darnold, that the season's over for some of these Cardinal fans. There's broken ankles all over the 101 coming to work today. It's fine. Jumping off bandwagons is part of the deal here in Arizona. We'll talk with Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback, and we'll have Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network, all the fantasy football impact of David Johnson. That's on today's show, plus much more. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports Tonight, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, 16 airings this week. Tonight at 5, 6, and following the Diamondbacks Rockies. Back with Peter King after this timeout. And now to give context and a national view of what has gone on, an absolute train wreck here in Arizona the last 48 hours. It is the MMQB, the best brand in the business, Peter King. He joins us, as always, via Skype to talk about what now that David Johnson has gone minimum 2 to 3 months after the wrist injury, the poor showing by Carson Palmer, the pathetic finish by the defense at Detroit. Other than that, everything's great out here. Let's start with David Johnson, Pete. What do you make out of this?
Well, you know, I can't really think of a worse injury for this team. I mean, I was trying to think about it when we were just before we went on, Brad, but think about what team is most built around its running back. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals are built around David Johnson more than the Dallas Cowboys are built around Ezekiel Elliott, and he won the rushing title last year. So I kind of look at this and say that you got a 37-year-old quarterback, you have a team that essentially really wants to use the running back, and a running back, not a running back by committee, but one running back, wants to use them more than any team would use a running back in football. And I just think it's a devastating injury for this team.
I'm getting a lot of suck for Sam already out here, Peter. I'm getting a lot of Sam Darnold fans already saying that 1 week and this is over. And Carson did look, he just looked old. I don't know if there's any other way to put it against Detroit. I don't know how much you saw of the game on Sunday, but is this season over with David Johnson's injury?
In my opinion, you know, when I look at the Arizona schedule, I mean, it seems silly now, just hours after you even find out about David Johnson, that you say, okay, look, this team has to win two of the next three. Mm-hmm. They have two eminently winnable games, Indianapolis and San Francisco. Mm-hmm. They got to win both those games, period. And I don't expect that they're going to beat Dallas. But they got to win both of those other games. And if they don't, then, I mean, they're certainly not going to give up at that point. But if they don't, I wouldn't expect that they'd be able to salvage their season.
Talking with Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback. You can check out all of his content. And, of course, Peter's podcast, the MMQB podcast with Peter King. You can find it on iTunes and lots of places. What did you make out of Carson Palmer's performance over the weekend, Peter?
I agree with you. I think that he looked old. But there have been times before where he's looked old. And one of the reasons why I wouldn't necessarily think, well, it's over for Palmer, is that he's in phenomenal shape. He is as smart a quarterback as is playing today. And so I don't necessarily say that it's over. I don't say that he can't rebound from this, because I think he can. And quite honestly, I think he will. I think they have a good receiving core. He's just got to be protected a little bit better. Yeah. And look, you know, Arizona's got the same problem. Look, the Giants have it worse. Seattle has it worse. Arizona's got the same problem as a lot of teams in football do. The offensive line is not as good as it needs to be. Mm-hmm. And so I look at it right now and I just say, essentially, if their offensive line can give him the 2.7 seconds that a good NFL quarterback needs to survey the field and see his options and make productive plays, they're going to be okay. If he's consistently running for his life, they're not going to be okay. And he's going to look 37 years old.
Yeah, and he's not going to be upright. DJ Humphreys getting the MCL strain, it hurts them on the offensive line. There's also a lot of anger and angst out here today, Peter, based off of Calais Campbell just decimating Houston and Tony Jefferson playing really well for the Ravens. I don't know if you saw both those players and their stat lines, but I think that's part of the reason, the frustration, the woe is us, this is over mentality is going on here in Arizona today on top of David Johnson.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the problem, I think, with David Johnson and the injury and everything that you look at, honestly, is that Arizona could not afford big injuries. Okay, because I think their defense was going to be, losing Tony Jefferson, you know, I think was obviously a significant loss for him.
Yep.
And, you know, I talked to Terrell Suggs after the game, the 20-0 win for Baltimore over Cincinnati. And Suggs basically said essentially that he went to Tony Jefferson during the game in Cincinnati and said to him, hey, I know you had a great career in Arizona, but you were born to be a Raven. Hmm. And he said, he's so physical. He hits so hard. And that's something that any defense is going to miss. Arizona is going to miss Tony Jefferson. Kansas City is going to miss Eric Berry now.
Yep.
So, I mean, you just have to regroup. And you would think, that because they really didn't have the true Tyrann Mathieu last year, and they need to have that true Tyrann Mathieu this year, that you replace one with the other, even though they're different players, they're different style players. But I think that makes, you know, Mathieu this year all the more vital to whatever this team is going to do.
Yeah, and Golden Tate really had his way in the second half against Tyrann. I think the finish was 10 catches for Golden Tate. That was tough stuff there. Before I let you go, look at Indianapolis. No Andrew Luck. On paper, isn't this a game Arizona, even with the Johnson injury, they should walk into and win? Or do you look at it and say, come on, Brad, these are two evenly matched teams based on the injuries now?
Well, look, here's what Arizona is going to be walking into. They're going to be walking into a coaching staff that's basically coaching for its jobs. I know it's week two, and that's insane to say. They're not getting fired the day after the game. Mm-hmm. But look, no team, and it isn't even close, had as dispiriting a day in week one. You know, you do not allow a 46 points to the Los Angeles Rams.
Right.
I mean, that's
right,
absurd.
Right, right.
Even though 14 of them were defensive points. And you don't allow that. And the problem becomes, when you do it, honestly, that then you start to question everything that you're doing. And that's why this, for the Indianapolis Colts, will be an absolute total must win. They have to win this game. If they don't win this game, I'm telling you, this will be the kind of game that, I mean, Indianapolis is going to play like this is their most important game of the year. So I realize everybody in Arizona said, boy, thank God we're playing Indy this week. Well, they're going to get an angry Indianapolis team. And so, you know, we'll see what happens. If I were an Arizona fan, I'd be rooting for Tolzien to start. I'll just say that.
Stay well, Peter. Safe travels. Appreciate the time as always. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad. Take care.
Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback, joining us via Skype from New York. Always good to catch up with Peter King, the MMQB, and you can catch his podcast, the Peter King, the MMQB podcast with Peter King. You can find it on iTunes and all places. Really good content every week that he does. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So right before the show started, I had all this college football, and I'm going to get to it here in a second. Right before the show started, the Diamondbacks released their schedule for next year already. Usually that's one of those deals that they do in, it's like the last day of the season. And maybe with all the interest in the team going into postseason this year, they cannot gag it away. They can't. They just can't. They're going to make it. But they released the schedule here, and they play the Dodgers 11 times in the first 30 days next year. 11 times. And I don't know if it's Derek going to MLB saying, please be heavy on Dodger games with us, because we, especially in April, we want to just capture the market again based on our excitement of what we've got going on here. That's got to be the reason. That many times with the Dodgers, that's pretty good. On the college football front, so I'm going to bounce around here. I'm going to try to tie all these together. And Fabiano's on the set, so we may break a little early. It's just one of those deals where he's live, and it's fine. It's fine. That's what we do here. We'll have our fantasy football segment with Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network. And it's all going to be about David Johnson anyways, just so you know. So Jerome Sowers gets let go at NAU, but they're going to let him finish out the season. I'm not quite sure what the point is of administration. I'm sure they explained it away and all that yesterday. I'm not taking a shot at them. It's just letting someone go or telling them you're just going to finish out this season. I would think the players would want to know who the next coach is going to be. And is the head coach going to have the hammer on those players for the rest of this year? That's a pretty talented roster. We got word of this yesterday around 1:30 that it was going down. And it happened on Sunday. You know, there were players that were texting moms and dads down here, and it got back to us. And so, by the way, those of you at NAU within your athletic department, if you're watching this and you're upset at some of your assistant coaches, none of them leaked it to me, okay? You don't need to take it out on some poor GA who did nothing. So there's that. As I was going through yesterday and even yesterday afternoon, I'm teaching over at ASU. My phone is got agents, and there's people that are trying to position for that NAU job. And I'm not going to throw names around out here on this until it gets to the right time. It's very early in the process. But part of the dots that have to be connected here, guys, is what is going to happen at Arizona and Arizona State. And specifically, Eric, if we were to go through the list right now, I wish I had like a board up here to put the names down on. But if we were to go through just here on September 12th, the jobs that we presume are going to come open this year in college football, head coaching jobs. Texas A&M, would you put that on the list?
Yes.
Okay, Texas A&M. I'm writing it down. Would you put, and you guys may want to do this at home for fun's sake, would you put Notre Dame on that list?
Yes.
Okay. Would you put Arizona State on that list?
Yes.
Okay. Would you put Arizona on that list?
No.
Really? Okay. You think he's going to survive? Okay. Would you put, what else, what other schools would you put on that list? UCLA?
I think Mora makes it.
I don't think he does.
Okay.
I'll put him down this list. Oregon State?
Yes.
Okay.
That was the name I was just about to say.
Okay, Oregon.
It's hard when you were just trying to think nationally.
No. Yeah, but you got to think locally. If we go through the SEC, you know, are they going to make a change at Ole Miss permanently? Or is this just a one-year deal down there? Is Butch Jones on thin ice at Tennessee? I would say yes, he is.
Probably.
Yeah, I would say yes, he is. If you're to look through the Big Ten, I don't see anybody that jumps out at me
on
Big Ten.
They had so much turnover last. There were a bunch of new coaches. In place this year that are in their first season, and the top of that, those two divisions are not going to change.
Okay.
In terms of head coaches.
All right. So
I can't see Urban Meyer saying, you know what, I think I'm just going to leave Ohio
State.
Could
you see Harbaugh if Ohio State drills them again? I'm starting to see the Harbaugh all talk, hasn't done it yet conversation.
I'd love to talk to those people.
Yeah.
I'd really like to talk to him and hear what their rationale is. And did you watch Michigan before he got there?
Right.
Do you remember the Brady Hoke era?
You and I both know that there's always the unexpected. It's the Bob Stoops in June.
Yep.
Somewhere, some program out there that we're like, there's no way that guy. You really think Rich is going to make it, huh?
I don't
follow this stuff closely.
Just think being up here, I hear a lot more about Todd Graham
right
on the hot seat than I do Rich Rodriguez. Maybe it's just because we live in Phoenix and I follow the Phoenix scene closer than I follow the Tucson scene.
I think he's dead man walking myself. Okay. All right. So now let's go through who are the coaching candidates. Who are the hot names you think this year? Let's go with the former coaches that are sitting out.
Okay.
So who would you go with former coaches that are sitting out? Chip Kelly?
He's at the top of the list.
All right.
Sorry, my brain is just not functioning.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Chip Kelly.
I didn't know we were going to talk about this. I mean, I know you want to talk about something, but you're kind of putting me on the spot here.
Yeah.
Asking me about Big Ten coaches who could be on the hot seat. Okay. I'm not sure, but go ahead. I'll play along.
Kevin Sumlin?
Kevin Sumlin will be available.
Okay. So Kevin Sumlin's available.
I mean, if Jim Mora gets fired, is that a retread? Is that a name of interest? Is that someone that could be landing in Arizona?
Okay.
Knows that valley very well, recruits a bunch of kids out from out here.
Who are announcers that you look at this year that feel like they're just doing the 1 year sit out until the job comes open, or the 2 year sit out and the job comes open? Like, I don't see Dave Wanstead. Other than he's sitting there on set, right? So, and that's what I'm getting at. Are there any broadcasters?
I mean, I would think by now, if Neuheisel wanted to get back into coaching, he would at some point, and he's still on the set. Again, they, I don't. These are hard because we only have 1 or 2 weeks of college football. If we had this conversation, I probably would watch all the different networks and I could tell you who the people on set are. But
this conversation, though, is really around Chip Kelly. If you're Arizona State and you're the administration, not just Ray Anderson, okay, people within the athletic department will always, we'd never be able to do that. That's just the defeatist mentality within ASU for people that have been there a long time that needs to change. They get mad about this, but it's just a fact. 20 years since the Rose Bowl, guys. Figure it out. So if Chip Kelly becomes available and is given any indication at all, and I'm going to go off of some agents that I've talked to on the who could become available, there's some interest in him getting back in the game. I'm not saying in Tempe.
That would be my biggest red flag. Is ASU big enough for Chip Kelly?
Right.
Because I'm sure Chip Kelly's doing the same thing we are and looking at some of these jobs like, that one's a good job, that one's not as good.
Yes.
This team, wink, wink, ASU hasn't had a lot of sustained success over the last 20 years.
Okay. I'm gonna wrap this up because I know Fabs is standing by, maybe. Hopefully he's off the set. But I'm going to wrap it up in this way. You've got to be the first to market. You also have to understand that the recruiting calendar has changed. Those of you that just want them to go hire a coach to hire a coach, it's not how it works. The recruiting calendar is now mid-December for the early signing period. Early signing period is mid-December. So if you sit on Todd Graham and you haven't made a decision by the time you get to the U of A game, you're killing your own program. If you're Rich Rodriguez, if you're U of A's administration and you haven't made a decision, and Chip Kelly's the guy you decide you want to go after, here's the other side of it. I had some people yesterday on the agent side that said they wouldn't be surprised to see a change in Tempe by the end of September. To me, that would be very forward thinking if this thing is sitting here 3 weeks from now with just a victory over New Mexico State. Like, there's going to come a point. I'm not expecting them to win this weekend in Lubbock. I'm not. And yesterday I said it was in Dallas. I was wrong. In Lubbock. I'm not expecting them to win the following week against Oregon here. I'm not expecting that. That would mean that this team would be sitting here at 1-3. And what kind of 1-3 is it? Is it the offensive line is still putrid? If it's Tucson, they play UTEP this Friday night. The game's at UTEP. For some ungodly reason, they're going to El Paso. I have no idea why they're going to El Paso, but they're going. If Rich stubs his toe in El Paso, mean, it's El Paso. My point is, if you think that Notre Dame is going to become available and you're Chip Kelly, you sit out. If you think that Texas A&M is going to become available and you're Chip Kelly and you want that job, you sit out. If you're Arizona State and you're Ray Anderson, it's the path would be, let's go get a former assistant coach, hot young assistant, bring them in. Let's go bring in somebody like Mark Helfrich, who has ties to some donors from the past, and those donors have been bringing his name up. And to me, I don't see where that solves anything. Mark Helfrich may be very good as a coordinator, but he wasn't very good as a head coach. It happens. Not crushing the guy like Mark, but he's not the head coach here. And if you've got to drive revenue and you're Ray Anderson, I don't think that you can sit there and bring a coordinator out. I just don't think that's how it works. Look, if Todd wins this week and he beats Oregon and he's 3-1, I'm changing my tune. I have not sat here once and said, fire him. I have not said that. I have never said Todd Graham is a bad guy. Never have said that. People always want to assume you're saying that when you write how awful the program looks on the field. I'm just talking about how awful the program looks on the field. If you want Chip Kelly, you've got to pull the trigger very early in Tempe. That's just the fact. If it is Rick Neuheisel, if it is a big name, you've got to pull the trigger very early. You just do. Because you're gonna sit around in mid-November saying, oh, what are we going to do? Well, we're big, bad ASU. Well, I don't know. You've been bad, but you haven't been big. Fact. Going to Sun Bowl, going to Vegas is not big. Think higher. Aim higher. Michael Fabiano's next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona, 16 airings this week. Tonight, before and after the Diamondbacks game against Colorado at 5 o'clock and at 5:30, and then following the game as well with the Diamondbacks in action. As promised, our weekly visit with Michael Fabiano right there on the set at the NFL Network. As we continue our coverage, we had Peter King earlier on David Johnson on that side. Now let's get David Johnson's side on the best in the business, the Hall of Famer Michael Fabiano on the fantasy end of things. One big ugh here in Arizona, and I'm sure across the country in the world of fantasy.
Yeah, that's the biggest loss that you can have. And for it to happen in week one and for now DJ to be out for potentially 2 to 3 months, I mean, that is a huge blow, obviously, for the Cardinals, more importantly, but for fantasy owners as well. And the real issue is that you can't replace him. You can't replace a guy who is capable of scoring well over 300 fantasy points. You can't replace a guy who can go for 1,000 and 1,000 and potentially score 15 to 20 touchdowns. You just can't replace him. So now you're looking to piecemeal together, right, playing the matchups and utilizing the waiver wire. So I would suggest picking up Tariq Cohen, who had 12 targets for the Bears last week, looked very good. Looks like they're going to go with a committee there with Jordan Howard as well. Cohen's available in a lot of leagues. I also would think Buck Allen is going to be out there on the waiver wire with Danny Woodhead injured. He's a guy who actually led Baltimore in touches last week in that backfield. He'll share work with Terrence West, but he looks to fit into that Danny Woodhead role. And there obviously are going to be some options there with the Cardinals and Kerwin Williams and Andre Ellington, but I think that's going to be a committee. Williams will probably be the early down guy and see the goal line opportunities, but Ellington's going to be the pass catcher. And that's what Bruce Arians is going to have to do, because he had the total package in DJ, and now that he doesn't, he has to put a couple of guys together who could potentially do some of what David Johnson could have done, and clearly those guys are not going to be able to fill his shoes from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah, and bring Chris Johnson back too. These are all stopgap situations, but if you're talking about your fantasy team where guys spent the number one overall or second or third overall pick on this running back, okay, you're not going to lose your whole league, or you are going to lose your league unless you start to scramble and get pretty aggressive with the rest of your roster. What is your view on that? You don't just sit tight, or do you sit tight? Because, Brad, it's only week one. It's only September. What's the strategy, Michael?
Right. You know what? At this point, I would be trying to look to make trades. I'm always trying to make trades. You know that. Maybe the team who has David Johnson has some wide receiver depth. Maybe you drafted two really good quarterbacks. Maybe you have depth at tight end, whatever the case may be. Don't be afraid to go out there and look for a team that has depth at the running back position, because there are quite a few teams in your league that probably focused on the running back position, and maybe you can make a trade. You trade from an area of strength to improve an area of weakness and continue to play the waiver wire, because I can't tell you how many times, and we saw this last year, we see it every year, where players like Jay Ajayi and Jordan Howard all of a sudden make noise and no one had drafted them. So maybe that is Tariq Cohen this season. Maybe we'll see another running back sort of bubble up and emerge as a viable fantasy option, and I'm pretty sure we will. It happens all the time,
right?
Once some of the injuries start happening. But just because you lost DJ, your job is much harder now, but you can still compete, and you can still make smart moves and play the matchups and make trades to help bolster what is a huge void in your backfield.
Given the versatility of this offense and what David Johnson was supposed to do, talked about doing, wanting to do, how does this impact the value of Carson Palmer, who was not good at all at Detroit? We talked about it last week. And this week he's got an Indianapolis team that was just horrible. But he doesn't have David Johnson. I mean, you can make the argument both ways, right? Talk about the impact on Carson Palmer from a fantasy standpoint.
Yeah, I was disappointed in that because he had a great matchup last week, at least on paper. And it did not turn out well at all. More picks than touchdown passes, and that's always a problem. But you would think the Cardinals are going to have to try and throw the ball a little bit more. And this is a team now that you could see behind in games, like we saw last week. So maybe Carson Palmer's a guy who's going to be more of a garbage time player. He's clearly not the same quarterback from a fantasy perspective that he was a couple of years ago when he was a top 10 player at that position. But this knocks the entire Cardinals offense down a notch, because you lose arguably the most dynamic player at that position in the entire league outside of Le'Veon Bell and Ezekiel Elliott.
I'd say two or three notches, even not just eight, just not it.
Maybe more.
Okay, I'm getting a lot of questions about Tariq Cohen, and you've already answered that. I'm getting a ton of questions about Alex Smith this week, and where are you at on Alex Smith?
How crazy was last week too?
Yeah, it was great.
No, it was bad for fantasy owners because when you let me give you a name here. I mean, you had this kid Giovanni Tavecchio for the Oakland Raiders. Sounds like a good Italian guy. So you know, that's a Fabiano. I like that. But he scored more fantasy points than Tom Brady, okay, and Drew Brees, and Aaron Rodgers, and Russell Wilson. I mean, it was ridiculous. And DJ, and Le'Veon Bell, and AJ. It was a nutty week. If you look at the top of the quarterback fantasy points scored from last week, it's all guys who didn't get drafted or were QB2s and no one started. Alex Smith is someone that, okay, this is a guy who has finished 10th at best during his time in Kansas City at quarterback based on fantasy points. I believe he was 13th, 18th, 22nd as well. I like what I saw from him. I'm not saying he's going to turn into Brett Favre overnight, but they have great weapons in Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt, who you know I loved going into the season.
You did.
And Travis Kelce as well, you know. So they've got a good matchup, too, against the Eagles at home. And the Eagles' defense, if you look at it, last week, okay, they held Kirk Cousins back. Last season, they were not good on the road against quarterbacks. So I can absolutely see Alex Smith maybe not being a QB1 across the board, but if you, for example, need a streamer for the week, or if you're in DFS, or maybe you have a super flex position, I mean, he's got to be in the conversation at least. I know it's Alex Smith. He looked pretty good, though, last week. He looked a heck of a lot better than Tom Brady, and that's something I never thought I'd say.
Okay, biggest surprises to you from week one as you look towards week two?
Just the number of big names who weren't good. I mean, I could stay on the phone with you for 10 minutes talking about the studs who failed to put up big numbers. And it's across the board, too. Tight end, Rob Gronkowski, Jordan Reed, Travis Kelce, you know, wide receiver A.J. Green, Julio Jones, Dez Bryant. There was a lot of big names that did not perform well. And you also saw some rookie running backs. So we've talked about this, too. Kareem Hunt looked, I mean, gangbusters. Dalvin Cook looked awesome. Leonard Fournette, tremendous. Christian McCaffrey and Joe Mixon, not so much, but it was only 1 week. This could end up being the season of the rookie running back, which, again, we talked about this during the preseason, because such a talented class in 2017. So those were a couple of the narratives. Now, there are going to be some guys you want to go up and pick up off the waiver wire, but I also wouldn't reach for some players too, okay? Like, I like Cohen. I like some of the running backs we talked about. The Cardinals running backs scare me, especially, you know, with the addition of Chris Johnson, as you mentioned. Kenny Galladay is going to get picked up in a lot of league. Nelson Aguilar as well. I wouldn't spend a lot of my free agent budget on these guys because it's only 1 week, and we have to remember that with the studs and with the guys who sort of came out of nowhere. But there are some options out there. There are some players out there, whether it was because of performance or because of injuries, that could really help you over the next several weeks in your fantasy football season, and they're out there on the waiver wire.
Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network, NFL.com, the Hall of Famer. Before you get out of here, who do you like this week, and who do you just absolutely despise this week?
You know what? So being on a Tuesday, I haven't been able to look over all the matchups just yet, but I did glance them over before I'm starting to write Stardom Sit'em, and there are teams we're targeting, okay, like the Jets. So you're going after Derek Carr. You want to start him and the Raiders wide receivers and Marshawn Lynch. We're going after the Colts too. So Carson Palmer, maybe not a QB1, super flex option, potentially a streamable option. I still like Larry Fitzgerald. I think he's going to see a lot of targets. Was disappointed in his numbers this past week, but I do think things will get better for him. And then, you know, you've got to look at matchups like, for example, Jameis Winston and the Buccaneers. They're coming off of an extra week off because of the hurricane. They're playing a Chicago Bears team that's not really been good on the road, and last week they gave up almost 18 points to Matt Ryan on their home field. So you've got to like Jameis Winston, Jaquizz Rodgers as a potential sleeper, DeSean Jackson, a guy you can play as a three or a flex as well. If you're looking at that Chargers game, now Phillip Rivers looked really good from a fantasy perspective, at least against Denver, compared to what he had done in the past, but you've also got to like the matchup for the Chargers this week. The Chargers have the Dolphins coming in, and their pass defense has not been good over the last season. So that's another option. You know, Keenan Allen looked pretty good last night. You got a good takeoff of him. Melvin Gordon as well, you're going to be starting. So, like I said, a lot of the matchups I'm still sort of fumbling through. You would be surprised how long it takes to do the research on all of these teams and going through home and road splits and all this kind of stuff. This is all the stuff that I have to do. At the end of Tuesday and Wednesday, my head is killing me because I've run the numbers so much. But there are certainly some matchups out there, again, like the ones with the Raiders, like the ones with the Chargers that I like, that people want to be able to utilize this week. There's no question about it.
Well, I don't want
definitely come back and check out NFL.com/startsit. That column should be up on the website tomorrow.
There you go. There you go. I don't want your head to hurt. I mean, you're a valued commodity,
man.
Dude. I don't want you dying on me.
My Sunday, Monday, Tuesday turnaround is insane.
Yeah.
I love it. But it is it's hefty. Let's put it that way.
All right. Get out of here. See ya. Appreciate it as always.
See you, bud.
It's Michael Fabiano right there on the set at the NFL Network. Like dodging around on the set to do us. That's cool. It's really good. Sports360AZ.com. Tonight, we have Diamondbacks Rockies that we'll be watching. And, of course, our show is on Fox Sports Arizona before and after. An hour before and an hour after, straight through. Half hour after half hour. So four airings tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. You can check us out. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Eric, as always, produces. Have yourself a great Tuesday. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.